Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. Today, we're going to continue to dive into the mysteries of the kingdom. Jesus teaches us in the parables elements and realities about the kingdom, the mysteries that we can't access on our own, simply by our own efforts. We need the Lord to open up and to communicate to us. Remember, he said he came to reveal the kingdom. He announced as he began his ministry, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom has come. The kingdom is right in the heart of Jesus' whole message. And the kingdom is a real kingdom. It's the rule of God. It's the dominion and authority and the way of life of God. And Jesus came to a rebellious, fallen world, as I mentioned yesterday, that's in disorder. And there's the rightful king has come to destroy and bring down the powers of the demonic kingdom that has taken hold, and the enemy's exercising his dominion through sin and death, and he's Lord of this world, Lord of the earth. Jesus has come to disarm, and he disarmed the principalities and powers on the cross, and he came to establish the rule of God, the reign of God, in the hearts of human beings, to come out from under the dominion of darkness, and to come into the dominion of the Lord, the King. Jesus Christ is King. He really is a king of a kingdom. And the kingdom is established in the church. Jesus built the kingdom on the apostles and on the prophets. And as we mentioned yesterday, reflecting on a reading from St. Paul from the church we had at Mass on Sunday, second reading from Colossians, that we enter the kingdom through getting our hearts circumcised in baptism. We're born again. We're given the grace of a new heart. We're given the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. We become a temple of the living God. We're united to Christ. We're part of his body. He's the head, now we're the body, and we're intimately united to him. So that's the life of the kingdom. And so Jesus describes dimensions of it. So today, we talked last week about the parable of the sower and the seed, and just underlined the reality of parables. Jesus, 46 times they're using the synoptics, and Jesus uses familiar images just from life, from, seed, ground, soil, things like that, to communicate. And he gives a comparison between two things. And what he's doing simultaneously as well is he is revealing the kingdom to the people who are ready to reveal it, and he's using parables to conceal it, the mysteries, for people whose hearts are proud and they're not ready. And so remember, Jesus laughing and smiling at one point to the Father, he rejoiced. And he said to the Father that I rejoice. He said that it's to little children that you've given the mysteries of the kingdom. It's humble hearts. It's the kind of heart that's described in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus said, the poor in spirit, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. To have a heart that looks to God for everything, that looks in trust to God, and in a posture of humility, poverty of spirit is a really healthy thing. To know that we're radically dependent creatures, radically dependent on a loving God, and called into a relationship with him, and we look to God for everything, and we lean into him. We're not humiliated by that. It's the source of our dignity, to be united to God and to have a heart that knows it and that knows the mercy we've been given and knows how much we've been forgiven, and the Holy Spirit who helps us just see how great God is and the profound love of God the Father, and there's no threat there. There's no opposition there. God is not an obstacle to our freedom and our autonomy and all the sick thinking that's in the earth always until the Lord comes again, but it's particularly present now in so many ways in our culture. So Jesus is teaching, and if we're going to be able to receive the parables, we need to have docile hearts, docile spirits, receptivity, trust, humility, poverty of spirit, and the Holy Spirit will be able to teach us. So we ask you, Holy Spirit, in the words, as we read the words of Jesus, that we can hear and understand. Come, Holy Spirit. The parable of the sower, the parable of the wheat and the tares, Matthew 13:24-30. So the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares, that's weeds, among the wheat. When the grain produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?" He said to them, "An enemy has done this." The servant said to him, "Do you want us then to go and gather them up?" But he said, "No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them." That is, tear up the wheat and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into the barn. So the parable addresses really the delay of God's judgment. That's fundamentally, I think, what's being communicated here. This is one of the most difficult aspects, of course, of Jesus' teaching. And God's people are not to do the separating of the wheat and the tares in this world. I mean, we need to articulate what it means to be in the kingdom. But until Jesus comes again, there will be people in the church who say they're Catholics, they say they're Christian, but they're not really. They're weeds, because they're saying one thing and they're radically doing another. They're living by the world's standards. They're more subject to the mind of the enemy than they are to Christ. And then Jesus gave an interpretation of this parable. He said this, "He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. But the weeds, the tares, are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. And the reapers are the angels. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. Then the righteous one will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father." The righteous will, right? The righteous will. So the good seed represents believers in Jesus, while the weeds represent sons of Satan. The whole reason, John tells us, the apostle, the whole reason Jesus came was to destroy the works of the devil. So Jesus is very much aware of the devil's strategy, what the devil is doing, and the nature of the spiritual combat that he's engaged in and we're engaged in. So then it says, "The devil is the enemy, and the harvest is the end of the age. The harvesters are the angels. The field is the world," indicating a global mission beyond Israel that Jesus was expecting to happen, that the gospel would spread, and we'll see that in some of the other parables, throughout the world. God permits the righteous and the wicked to coexist in this age. But a great separation is coming. This is something the church needs to communicate more clearly. People need to understand this and to understand that God knows the actual condition of every human heart, and he wants us to live with a healthy fear, filial fear, of the holiness of God, the power of God, the ultimate authority Jesus has given and will exercise at the end times when he comes to destroy all the enemies of God and to bring all of those who've been faithful, who've lived in him, who've died in him, who persevered in the faith, those who walked, okay, we all walk imperfectly, but Jesus knows the condition of the heart, who really is from the heart seeking to be united to the will of God, who's pursuing Jesus, who's pursuing living out the first commandment, second commandment, to give our whole lives to Christ, the mission, the great commission we're called to live in. And so, you know, who's walking in humility, who's walking in the Sermon on the Mount, who's walking out the best they can under God's grace, the Sermon on the Mount lifestyle. So a day is coming. And this is something that, you know, as we've talked about many times over the years, you know, the importance of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the source of wisdom. To gain wisdom, one needs to really walk in the fear of the Lord. And it's a great grace to do that. For some reason, you know, so many today somehow can't put together the idea of the two words, fear and God, in the same sentence. Now, perfect love casts out all fear. What kind of fear is that? perfect love casts out slavish fear, acting as if we're orphans, we're not God's children, or that God lives in a perpetual state of being displeased with who we are, and that we mostly live as though God is angry with us, something like that, right? And that's just the wrong understanding of who God is. So perfect love casts out that kind of slavish fear. But what is given to us by the Holy Spirit and what will remain in us forever is a healthy fear of God. Jesus has it even today, the filial fear of a beloved son. And it's in awe of his father, in receptivity to his wisdom. And that's what we're called to be. And so Jesus is saying in the parable that one of the mysteries of the kingdom and how the kingdom unfolds in time before Jesus comes again, between the two comings of Jesus, is that the wheat and the tares will exist together in the church. And the church needs to teach clearly what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, what's consistent with the kingdom and what is not. Pastors need to exercise authority. Parents need to exercise authority according to God's will and God's purpose. But only God knows ultimately the human heart of people and where they are. And there will be corruption and deception and lies and compromise and lukewarmness in the church until the Lord comes again. But the point is, the Lord's going to deal with it. And it's critical for us to understand that this day of judgment's actually going to come. And there will be a separation. There will be an eternal separation for those who truly want God and walked in obedience to God and their hearts were set on God, and those who maybe just said, Lord, Lord. So what he's talking about is important for us to be able to see, because it's a reality. It's a reality of what we experience. So it's happening now in the church. And I personally think, you know, voices are emerging in the church that are actually expressing that they're living a different kind of life. They're not walking in obedience to the Lord, to scripture, to catechism, to the teaching of the saints, but they're more clinging to the world and the ways of the world. And they're now trying to get the church to move in the direction of bending the knee to this world rather than being radically walking in obedience to the Lord. So it shouldn't be a surprise to us that there are people in the body who betray Christ, lukewarmness in the body, worldliness in the body. The Lord knows it. He's going to deal with it. We exercise our authority to confront that where it needs to be confronted. But at the end of the day, much of it we don't see, but the Lord himself is going to reveal it on his return. The church must preach it clearly so that people who are in that position, even if a priest or preacher, teacher, whoever, doesn't know it, we need to communicate the truth, the whole counsel of God's word, so that people understand what God sees and what God knows about every single person and where we're headed based on our response and our honest, authentic response to God and God's call and the mercy that he's offering each and every one of us. Really amazing that Jesus communicates so clearly to us these mysteries. We wouldn't even hardly think about it, but this is something the Lord's very much aware of, and we ought to pray. And we ought to pray for the conversion, a deep conversion of everybody that's in the church, but also know and understand this will always be a dimension in this life of the kingdom. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's new booklet, Join the Resistance. In this booklet, Ralph gives us a tremendous vision how we can join St. Peter and the apostles who said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. To get this free booklet, you can call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.